This is the Michael K. Show.
You know, we have real problems at this radio station of jealousy. I don't know if you just heard the promo. Dave Rothenberg is upset because I said that Rick DiPietro is good looking.
Did you hear Kay yesterday? Oh, he's a gorgeous man.
He's sickened by it the same way I am because it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't matter. I don't care if it makes sense to you. It makes sense to me and Rick. Love but doesn't have to be explained.
You call him gorgeous, and every time you talk about or fawn over a man, you compare it to Rick DiPietro. It's just strange. Whatever. You're in love with the man. Admit it.
I think he's a terrific guy.
I think you're in love with him. Don't deny it because, listen, lie to everybody, okay? Lie to the world. But the worst lie ever told is the lie you tell yourself.
The Michael K. Show.
I think Dan Gross is a very attractive guy.
Well, he's nothing. Nothing compared to DPHO.
Okay, that's not a hill I want to die on.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I'm almost embarrassed that our next guest had to hear that. This is just not the kind of tripe that Adam Schefter deals with. He has serious stuff. Serious stuff we want to talk to him about. And Adam Schefter, our NFL insider here at ESPN, joins us now. Adam, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Michael, Don, and Peter, I hope everybody is doing well. Nice to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. I know you're busy. Have you ever experienced, I mean, there have been bursts of trade rumors and action and stuff like that, but this is, to me, it seems like such a high level, the names that are involved that we're hearing about. Have you ever experienced anything like this? Is it because of the lowered cap and people are making moves? What do you think?
No, I'll tell you a funny story. It was the day after the NFC Championship game. It was Monday morning, and I started going through my mind and thinking about all the unsettled quarterback situations. And by the way, at that point, I was aware that there were issues in Seattle with Russell Wilson. And so I started in my mind computing all the places that had a locked-in virtual quarterback starter for the 2021 season, and I couldn't come up with more than, say, 10 teams. Could not come up with more than 10. Felt like there were about 22 jobs where you could say this job, this quarterback job, doesn't have a known starting quarterback for the upcoming season. I started getting sick, literally thinking about it. Like, all that was going to be ahead in this offseason. Like, it was overwhelming to me, and I had to, like, snap myself out of it mentally to just say, okay, it'll all unfold over time. And let me say this also, like, people have said to me, oh, there's never been an NFL offseason like this. Never. Like, this is unprecedented. Well, in regards to the quarterbacks, right, that's true. But there's always something. Last offseason was Tom Brady, was the new CBA, was COVID. There's always something. It's Michael Vick fighting dogs. It's Ben Roethlisberger in a bar. It's Deflategate. It's always something hanging over. It's the courtship of Peyton Manning. But there's never been an offseason in which there have been this many significant quarterback questions about this number of teams.
Which kind of begs the question, it's an argument, Adam, that we've had on the show. Is the NFL becoming somewhat like the NBA when a player, especially somebody as significant as a quarterback, doesn't like their situation, that they can force their way out, kind of like a James Harden situation? Is that on the horizon for this league?
Well, I think that we've seen that happen more and more. Again, we saw back in the day, Carson Palmer didn't show up to the Cincinnati Bengals. He got traded before the trade deadline to the Raiders. That was how long ago? 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's never happened before. It's just happening at a little bit of a higher degree of frequency. And we live in a day and age where everything is scrutinized to the nth degree. Everything. And everybody weighs in on it. There are more voices, more social media outlets, more coverage, more everything than ever before. So it gets a little bit more tense. What about Khalil Mack? Like, Khalil Mack was as good as any defensive player in football and literally shut out John Gruden when he took over as the Raiders head coach, and they said, we're not trading him for 5-6 months until they got to the point of Labor Day weekend where they did trade him. Okay, so it went on with Khalil Mack. What about Jalen Ramsey? He didn't hold out, but he held in. He got there. I don't feel well. My calf's bothering me. I can't play. Got traded to the Rams. So it's gone on in the NFL. But now you're seeing, oh, There's an issue with Russell Wilson. Oh, Deshaun Watson wants out in Houston, very clearly has requested a trade. We've already seen Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff traded this offseason. We've got any number of uncertain quarterback jobs. You got the incoming quarterback class in the draft, which further clouds and muddies the situation. You've got the Dak Prescott situation in Dallas. I mean, there are a lot of quarterback questions. And I think it's someone, I've heard a couple of people say, whoa, people see what happened with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, and now they want to do the same thing. Tom and the quarterbacks want to be like Tom Brady and go to a place where they can dig. That's a false narrative. Tom Brady was kind of left with Tampa at the end. He liked the idea. Don't get me wrong. He liked the idea of Tampa. But when he set out to go into free agency, I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were top his wish list of places that he was going to land. And then the Buccaneers got lucky that they got Tom Brady. And as I watched the Super Bowl, I'm thinking to myself, amazing that you've got all these teams tripping over each other to bid on Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. And when Tom Brady was a free agent last offseason, and you could sign him without compensating anybody, there were really two teams in the end in mid-March that made a real play for him, the Chargers and the Buccaneers. Nobody else. So you're telling me in other words that the Jaguars, Bears, you come up with the team, they judged that their situation was better than the one that they would have had by signing Tom Brady.
I was fascinated by what you reported. I believe it was yesterday where, you know, the rumors about Russell Wilson being unhappy in Seattle, and then you get a hold of his agent and said, well, he doesn't want to be traded. But if he did want to be traded, these are the four teams. I mean, that is so weird to me. I mean, is that just passive-aggressive?
Michael, it's to me, it's a backhanded way of saying, I love it in Seattle, but I'm good with these places. I'm good with these, which tells you that there are issues, okay? And, again, nobody said this to me, but me reading between the lines, The Athletic did a long piece on Russell Wilson, very well done, on some of the issues that have taken place between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks earlier in the day. And in that piece was some information about how Russell Wilson told the Seahawks that the places he would go would be Miami and the Jets. And there were four teams listed, but a couple of them were wrong. And I think Russell Wilson read that and like, if they're going to talk about my information, I'm going to talk about my information. And I'm going to lay it out the way it is. Here are the places that I would get like to get traded to. You want to do this? I can do it too. Here's where I'd like to go. I think it was a tit-for-tat kind of move.
Interesting.
That's exactly what it was. You want to put this out there? I'll put it out there too. Here's where I will go.
Adam, another thing that's sort of making noise a little bit more quietly is that Dan Snyder's partners, he now has three different court cases that are happening with his partners in the Washington football team. Is there any chance anything's actually brewing here that could lead to him having to move on from Washington?
What I would say is he's got no plans and no intent to sell that franchise ever. Now, there have been other owners in that spot. I think Jerry Richardson once said something similar, and then eventually, after all of his off-the-field situations, decided to sell. So I think in the NFL, rarely are there any absolutes. Rarely is everything black and white. But I can tell you that today, even though all these limited partners are putting pressure on him, and even though there are a lot of people that want him to sell, and even though there are a host of issues, unless the NFL steps in and forces him to sell that franchise, which could happen, he's not going to voluntarily step up and sell that team. I feel very comfortable in saying that. Now, what external factors influence the process and get it going in a certain direction, I don't know where that's going to go. None of us do. He will not voluntarily just go sell that team, to my knowledge.
Now, the Jets have quite a few options. They can try to trade for Watson. They can keep Darnold. They can take the number two pick. What are you hearing around the league on what the Jets might end up doing at quarterback for 2021?
Well, I think they're in a great spot for this reason. Time is on their side. They have the second pick in the draft. So Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one. And once he goes number one, if the Houston Texans ever decide that they're going to listen, then they could say to the Jets, well, that would be the most logical place to turn to because they have the second pick. And if you like Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance, you assure yourself of getting that guy at the two spot, not to mention the extra picks that the Jets have. So I think the Jets are in a good spot there in terms of being in a position if the Texans soften their thinking. I think that's the best way of phrasing it right now because they're dug in just as Deshaun Watson's dug in. And at some point, somebody's going to have to give in. And then I think the quarterback prospects there too are also incredibly appealing. I think there are a lot of people that really like Zach Wilson an awful lot. And I've been hearing this now for a while. So if the Jets decide to sit at two and take somebody like Zach Wilson, I think that they probably would be very comfortable doing that. So do you trade the pick for Deshaun Watson? Do you take Zach Wilson? Or do you decide, okay, we're going to ride it out. We're going to build around our former number three overall pick. That's also an option. We'll see what they decide. I think they're in a good spot, a good position to move forward as an organization. We'll see how it plays out. They don't have to rush to do anything.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talking with Adam Schefter here on the Michael Kay Show. So we have on Todd McShay, we have on Mel Kiper, we have on Dan Orlovsky, Keyshawn. They all love Adam. They love Sam Darnold. The only reason that Sam Darnold's been ineffective is because of the bad coaching that he's had. You talk to everybody. I trust what you say. You're getting feedback from people. I look at Sam Darnold. I'm not seeing it the same way as those experts are. Around the league, is Sam Darnold looked at as somebody that could be a great quarterback that the Jets have just abused?
Well, I would say this. I think that there are a lot of people who like Sam Darnold. A lot of people like him. I like him. But I also think there are questions with Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold may very well go on to answer all those questions and turn out to be the great quarterback that a lot of people thought. But nobody can say that for sure. We don't know. Right? He's been inconsistent. And he is been hurt quite a bit. Now, again, I hope and I want to see Sam Darnold stay healthy and have the great career that he's capable of having. Do we know that's going to happen? I don't know that we know that. And I think teams look at that and teams wonder that too. They're like, is this guy going to live up to the potential he had when he was the third overall pick, or is it going to be more of the same? More injuries, more inconsistency, more inefficiency, whatever it may be. Is that the Jets' lack of surrounding talent, supporting cast? Maybe. Is it Sam? Maybe. No one knows. Everybody likes him. Everybody can agree on that. So I think if you're the Jets, you're, what is the most certain path to building our team going forward? Is that getting Deshaun Watson if we can? Is that trading for Russell Wilson? And by the way, I know the Jets were not on his list, but I wondered this today also. I think this is a fair question. He put four teams out there. And of those four teams, I don't know that any one of them is in a great position to give the Seahawks something that the Jets would be capable of giving them. Right. So what if the Jets were the team that stepped up and made a deal with Seattle? Again, we're just talking, right? Mm-hmm. Is Russell Wilson going to say no the New York Jets. He's got the no trade clause. Or is he going to say, you know what? I just want to get out of Seattle. You know what? The Jets were not in my top tier, but I'm good going there.
Fascinating. Now, it's so nebulous, Adam, that we hear that Deshaun Watson has been upset, that he's been lied to. I mean, do we know specifically what has really rankled him so much about the Texans? Do we know specifically why he wants out?
Well, I think there are many layers to that, Michael. And I think we can go back and look at all the issues that that organization has had. Didn't the players stage a walkout before they were playing in Seattle a few years back over the way that their former owner and organization handled some issues? I mean, the players were literally walking out the door, right? It was some comments that Bob McNair made. And I remember getting a call on a Friday that the players are leaving, like they're fleeing the facility.
Was that the inmates running the prison? Was it that comment?
That was it. Okay, so I think when you start to figure out all the issues with Deshaun Watson and the Texans, I think that's one of the places that you turn to, and you include in the package of ways that he didn't feel comfortable. Now, they went to him and also said, we want your input. And he went to dinner with Cal McNair, who solicited his input. And then they took his input and ignored it. And then fired the search firm that they hired, that they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on. Korn Ferry, recommendations, hire Omar Khan as the general manager from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's hire Omar Khan. Let's talk to Louis Riddick again. And then somehow it got flipped, and all of a sudden Nick Caserio was ushered in, and Nick Caserio was hired on the spot. When Nick Caserio was not recommended by the search firm, when his name didn't come up with Deshaun Watson, and again, this is no reflection of Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio has been somebody that has been desired around the league for a long time, and people have great respect for him. But it's how the process played itself out and how the owner involved Deshaun Watson and then the people beneath him executed it a different way. So now you have that.
You don't guess on things.
How about last offseason, they go and trade his top wide receiver, and don't even tell him. He finds out about it on social media when it's reported.
But he still signed after that, Adam, didn't he?
He did. He did, Michael, and that is on him. And if you didn't like it enough back then, you could have held off. But you know what? They offered that money. He signed it, and then there was more of the same. And then, of course, when we reported on Nick Caserio becoming the GM, Deshaun Watson came out with that tweet. What was the tweet? Like, history repeats itself, or more of the same, or whatever it was that he tweeted out, mm-hmm. which was a reference to the fact that, once again, they didn't tell him anything. And I think what was more egregious this time was that it came after they solicited his input and basically ignored it. Now, let me say this. There are other things, and there are still other things going on. So I think there's a whole host of issues. And look, the bottom line is he doesn't want to play there anymore. And the question is, how long is he going to follow through on that? Is he going to hold true to that when training camp gets underway if he's not traded? Is he going to hold true to that when the season gets underway? Is he willing to forego the money when I've had people tell me Deshaun Watson came from nothing? He doesn't care about money. It's principle. And if that's the case, I applaud that young man. And we're not going to see him play again for the Texans, as he's saying. And the Texans are going to have a problem. The Texans think he's going to change his mind. I don't. And we'll see who's right. I don't know how that plays out.
It's funny, though. Adam. I come from nothing, and that's why money matters to me. I'm surprised that money doesn't matter for somebody who came from nothing.
But he already has a lot of money.
Yeah,
relative.
He already has a lot of money. And guess what? If he sits out a year, he's going to have a lot more money again whenever he does play.
Adam,
the money's not running out on Deshaun Watson. I promise you that.
Are we ever going to find out, like you just sort of insinuated, that there's more to this? And it sounds like people have heard what the more to this is. Why is that sort of so secretive? And are we ever going to find out what the more to this whole thing is?
It's not that it's a secret. I just gave you five things.
But you did say there's more.
Yeah, there is more. But it's all around the same ideas and the same people.
Right. Lack of respect.
Concept. It's the same thing. Okay, yeah. So there's the time that somebody didn't call him back. Well, it's the same things we're talking about.
Okay.
Is it specific to he thought Easterby would be out and he was on the private jet flying to New England to hire the new general manager?
No, I don't know. But no, I don't think that's it. I don't think that he thought Jack Easterby was out. But I think that obviously he clearly doesn't agree with the way that Jack Easterby has handled a number of these issues. I think that's very clear, right?
Oh, no question. That's why I was wondering when he feels like he was lied to, did he at least think that maybe Easterby would be less involved?
You know, let me say this. Deshaun's not the only one that feels this way, okay? Mm-hmm. He's not the only one. Like, this has been prevalent throughout the organization. And I would love if you could insert truth serum into Nick Caserio and ask him, would you have taken this job if you knew everything that you know now?
Boy, oh boy. I wonder.
Like,
I mean, these jobs are gold, but I mean, what did he walk into?
Well, hold on. The Deshaun Watson situation, his level of unhappiness did not surface until days after Nick Caserio had accepted the GM job.
Right.
Okay? So Nick Caserio took the job thinking it was one thing, and this job has turned out to be a totally different animal and monster. So if Nick Caserio is being honest, would he have taken the job? That's all I want to know. And my guess, I know $5-6 million a year goes a long way, and a lot of people would, of course, take that job, particularly in a state where you're not paying any state taxes, and it's a great situation and all that. But he waited an awful long time for a GM job and had his chance at many GM jobs, and this was the one that he took, which is as much of a mess as anyone I can remember in a long time. I mean, wow.
Well, keep your phone charged, Adam.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Great information.
Michael,
thank you so much.
I didn't need you to tell me that to keep my phone charged. The Monday of that NFC, it hit me that morning. I'll never forget it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it's sort of like if you're running a marathon, if you think about the fact that you're going to be running 26.2 miles, then it's overwhelming to think about. But if you think, okay, I just got to get through the first mile. Let me worry about the first mile. And that's really it. You worry about the first mile? Okay. Matthew Stafford's done. Okay. Jared Goff's done. Oh, let me get to the next mile. Oh, Carson Wentz is done. And we've got a lot more miles to go, but we can't think about all the miles that's through our head.
I got news for you, Adam. I think it's now 29 miles. They've added 3 miles on, too, so be careful.
As somebody who once ran the Boston Marathon and wound up in the hospital after it with rhabdomyolysis, the idea of running a marathon that's even longer is entirely and completely distasteful.
Stay safe. Stay well. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Wow, interesting stuff. Let's talk about it. 1-800-919-3776. You become part of the conversation with us. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.